Blog Talk Radio.
To Watford, three on the way. Oh! It went in! It went in! And Indiana wins the ball game. Christian Watford with a three.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
This is Indiana. Yeah, we do it big. Boston on the Big Ten. You know what it is.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call as the Indiana Hoosiers today survive in Happy Valley 79-76. They defeat the Penn State Nittany Lions. It was a game that Indiana was down 31-15 at one point in the second half, battled back at the end of the first half, really kind of took control there through about the first 10 minutes of the second half, let Penn State back in it, and then fought and scratched and clawed and made free throws. And you know what? Just did what they had to do to get a win on the road in the Big Ten. And as I saw many people tweet as this game ended, you know what? Right now, you take them any way you can get them. The Hoosiers came in at 0-2. They're now 1-2 with a very tough game coming up against Wisconsin on Tuesday night. But at least for one day, we can all exhale a little bit. The Hoosiers are off the schneid in the Big Ten, getting a really big win. And there's a lot to talk about. I'm Jared Morris. I'm your host here on the Assembly Call. I will be joined today by Ryan Phillips. Andy Bottoms had some family obligations, so he will not be with us today. But he has said that he will be doing some of his usual in-depth Andy Bottoms advanced stats analysis, and so we'll be sending out a subscriber-only email probably tomorrow morning with that analysis. If you want to get that, go to assemblycall.com/subscribe. You can subscribe to our email list. It's free. We only send you stuff when we really have some important stuff to share. So let's break down this game. To start it out, let's go with our banner moment before I bring Ryan in here and get his rant. And for me, you know, it's seeing what Indiana did when they were down 31-15, because I know myself, like a lot of other people, I'm sure, watching that first half, really dejected. I mean, other than the play of Noah Vonleh early, which we'll get to, I mean, there was nothing going on for Indiana. If Noah Vonleh is not there, I mean, goodness gracious, that's a, you know, a 31-5 game or whatever it was. And I really thought there was one stretch, and I even tweeted this, I didn't even think Indiana was competing. They were giving up offensive rebounds, they were leaving shooters open, and it just so happened that Penn State was making shots, which is easier to do when shooters are open. And that's what got Penn State out to that big lead. But I thought Indiana, after that, battled back, and they started to do more of the things we've seen this team do when they're successful, which is get it inside and get to the free throw line. They were able to get some rebounds. They were able to finally start making shots. You know, that was a big part, is the shooting just kind of evened out. But really, Indiana battled back, and that's what was nice to see, because when you're 0-2 like this with a team that, you know, hasn't had a lot of success recently, you go down big on the road in a game like this against Penn State, and you can start to kind of lose that attitude, lose that fight. We didn't see that. We saw them get back and even get that, you know, kind of bigger lead in the second half, and then able to scratch and claw at the end there. So I think, was it a perfect game? No. Was it a pretty game? No. There are a lot of negatives we can take from it, yes, and we'll break them all down. But you know what? It's a win. It's a hard-fought win. It's a road win in the Big Ten. And so I think, you know, forget about all the other stuff right now. There's a lot of positives to take from that. So with that said, let me now bring in my partner on today's broadcast, Ryan Phillips, and let's get his rant on today's IU victory. Ryan, what do you think, man?
You know, I think that really the guy I wanted to focus on is kind of out of left field, but Jeff Howard in that second half really scrapped and clawed and just was diving on the floor, was showing effort and things like that. And that was kind of the attitude in the second half. Yeah, they had some nice plays here and there, but it was just a scrappy win. They just did what they had to do to win. And I think Howard really epitomized that in the second half when he came in and was actually, I thought at times, I thought Vonley was fantastic in the first half, but I think that Howard outplayed him in long stretches in the second half. And that's why he was in there for an extended period of time. I think originally he went in there just to give Vonley a break, and I didn't think Perea was very active. And so Howard just was sort of a replacement for those two. But he came in and he earned those minutes. I mean, he was really working hard. And maybe, you know, that sort of sets the tempo for this team. I mean, you have to do those little things to win, especially in the Big Ten and especially on the road, especially, you know, particularly when you only shoot 36% like they did tonight or today. And, you know, so that attitude, the scrapping, the diving on the floor, the we're outworking everybody, I think that really led to why they won. I mean, because a lot of other guys started doing that. And I thought it was a great move. Of I know we harp on his substitution patterns all the time, but I thought that Coach Green did a great job actually subbing guys today. Even Stan Robinson at one point, who was one of the better players on the floor for stretches, you know, took about a 10-foot jumper in the middle of the offense when there were about three guys wide open, and the next possession he was out. And I don't think it was a doghouse kind of taking him out. I thought it was more of a, okay, here, let's tell you what you did wrong so when you go back in, you know what to look for. And, you know, a teaching moment. And there's going to be a lot of those with the young team. So I thought that was emblematic of sort of what was going on with the substitution patterns all day. I thought there was a lot of teaching going on and a lot of, you know, bring a guy out, let him sit and figure it out and go back in and play better. And I thought Howard played a great game, and it was really fun to see him out there mixing it up.
Well, I tell you what, you know, that really is one of the more interesting subplots to come out of this game, which is, you know, it's a close game with 10 minutes to go, and all of a sudden you look out on the floor and Austin Etherington and Jeff Howard are playing, and they're playing together, and Noah Vonleh is not playing. And it was, you know, obviously people, you know, mentioned it a lot on Twitter. I know Andy's, you know, had some hot opinions about it during the game, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, I'm sure his analysis will include that. It'll be interesting to see what he says. And frankly, I found it a little shocking and kind of had the same reaction I had when Johnny Marlin was out there against Michigan State. But Ryan, you're right. You know, despite all of our collective misgivings about it when we saw it, Jeff Howard and Austin Etherington contributed in a big way to this victory. I mean, Howard went out there. He had three offensive rebounds. He was 4 of 6 from the line. You know, Austin Etherington made the huge three. And I thought, you know, in his minutes, you know, Penn State picked on him on defense. And, you know, he had a couple offensive possessions where he didn't do a whole lot. But 5 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. And he scrapped and he clawed. And I think you're right. You know, more so than just, you know, the numbers those guys put up in the box score, I thought, you know, they were indicative of what this team had to do to win that game. And so in a season where there's been a lot of criticizing Tom Crean, and I think a lot of warranted criticism for Tom Crean, I think this is a game today where, you know, almost reluctantly, I think we have to kind of, you know, take our hats off and tip our caps to him, because, you know, he did what a lot of people wanted to do, which is take Jeremy Hollowell out of the starting lineup. Not only did he take him out of the starting lineup, he didn't play the whole game. Right? And, you know, he played the guys that were going to go out there and scrap and claw, like Howard and Etherington. And it may have seemed crazy to us, but, you know, that Crean, he's a crazy genius, you know, because it worked, because those guys made plays that contributed to the victory. And so, and I have a feeling that you'll agree with this. I mean, I think, like I said, in a season where we've really criticized him, I think, and almost like you already said, you really have to commend him for what he did, because in a close game like this where you had to scrap, you had to claw, and every possession meant something, you know, at the end of the day, the results speak for themselves, and this team won, and they won because of the guys that he had out there on the floor, even if we didn't think they should be there initially.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's finally figuring out what this team needs. I think that it's been a struggle for everyone to kind of understand what this team needs, you know, who needs to be playing at what time and things like that. But it looked like today the rotations were good, and the team responded certainly in the second half. I mean, to be down 15 in the first half and come back and win on the road with an extremely young team getting their first road win, I don't care who you're playing. You know, it's in the Big Ten, and we've had struggles at Penn State before with better teams than this. So to come out and get that win was really a big deal, and I think that it really helps this team going forward.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about – well, there's a couple topics I want to hit up with you. And actually, let's go to Noah. I want to talk about Stan some, but let's stick with Noah a little bit. You know, because this was an interesting game. It almost – you know, it's almost kind of a microcosm of Noah's season, all in 40 minutes. You know, he comes out in the beginning, and, I mean, the guy's like Jimmy Rail. He's on pace for 50 points, you know, through the first 8 minutes of the game with – literally, I mean, he scored Indiana's first 12 points. Without him, we might have gotten blown out of the building, you know. And what I liked about it is that he was aggressive, and that's something that Tom Crean talked about this week, that, look, Noah's got to get selfish. He's got to get aggressive. And I thought he was. He was fighting for position. You know, he was aggressive demanding the ball. He was aggressive in movements when he had the ball. He knocked down two more three-pointers. I don't know if you know this, but he's 4 or 5 from downtown on the season, or in the Big Ten season, so he was shooting 80% from three-point range. He was outstanding there in the beginning. So we know that. What happened to him then after that? Because obviously he was a little bit less aggressive. He wasn't able to get his hands on the ball as much. He finished with 19 points, you know, but again, with 12 of those coming early. You know, and you even said, you know, for stretches there in the second half, Jeff Howard even outplayed him. So what was it? Did Penn State change what they were doing, or did his mindset kind of settle back into the Noah that we've seen, you know, over the majority of the season? And, you know, just that little spurt in the first half was just, you know, kind of a little spurt, but maybe not something he can sustain.
Well, I think that partially Penn State was bumping him a lot, trying to harass him, things like that, and that, you know, again, we saw with Cody when he was a freshman, that can really bother somebody who's not used to it. And I think in the second half, they ran more guys at him. They bumped him. They pushed him. They shoved him. And then I think that as a response, he tried to be over-aggressive. And, you know, he was trying to make moves where there wasn't any room to make them. He had 3 travels in the second half, and those were his 3 turnovers. So I think that he was almost trying to overcompensate for the fact that he was being pushed around and bumped and harassed by trying to do too much. And so then once that happened and he was being over aggressive, he sort of went into a bit of a shell. He wasn't getting his positioning wasn't as great in the second half. And again, though, those kind of stretches from a freshman, you can't sustain those. I don't care who you are. The best freshman in the country is going to go into the tank at some point in the game. I mean, you know, well, most games we'll say that. And so I think that it's one of those things where he had his great stretch in the beginning, and then, you know, it's kind of, okay, how do I sustain this? He's still learning, and he's still trying to figure out, you know, what he can do to be more consistent and things like that. So I think that it was a combination of a few things. I think Penn State did some things. I think that mentally he just tried to do too much and then kind of went into a shell after that. But he was still working hard. He was still working on the boards. He was still doing things like that. But it was – you know, just a combination of a few things, plus the fact that he's 18 years old, and it's hard to sustain that level of excellence, as, you know, excellence throughout an entire 40 minutes.
Yeah. You know, a guy who I think whose play may go a little bit under the radar today is Yogi. You know, his shooting numbers are not great. He was 4 of 13, but he finished with 15 points. He made key free throws down the stretch. The threes he did hit were big ones. And he had 7 assists and 1 turnover, which is huge for Yogi because we know those turnover numbers have been a problem. And though, you know, some other guys turned it over like Troy and Noah, I think Yogi and Will's ability to only have 1 turnover each, well, it was a big reason why Indiana won today, because Indiana's turnover percentage was actually 19.4%, and I can't even remember the last game where we were under 20. And so, you know, even though Yogi struggled to get in the flow early, I thought he was outstanding in the second half, you know, and this isn't, you know, that 30-point outburst like the Illinois game, but I think, you know, at the end of the 40 minutes, this was a really solid day for Yogi. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that he showed some leadership, and he did a much better job in taking care of the basketball and not trying to force things and relying on his teammates. And, again, anytime these guys sort of have that kind of a game where they sort of break tendencies – It's a learning experience. And Yogi, I mean, we forget, and I say this all the time, we forget he's only a sophomore, you know, and he's the guy that we rely on for everything, and he's only a sophomore. And last year he wasn't relied on to score very much. He handled the ball a lot, but he wasn't a scorer. He didn't have the ball in his hands 90% of the time like he does now. So, yeah, having 7 assists and 1 turnover in the amount of minutes he played, that's a huge key. And, yeah, he was 4-13. He had some he had some dogs of shots, but I think everybody early on did too. And I think a lot, I think if we look back, a lot of those would have come in the first half when they were all just missing everything. And so, yeah, I think it was a great game for Yogi to sort of – you also have to remember that as the point guard, he, it's his job to settle everyone down and get them into a rhythm and get them focused. And I think he did a good job doing that.
You know, one of the guys who also played big minutes today was Stan Robinson. And I thought probably Indiana's best stretch of the game, I thought, was a stretch in the second half where they extended that lead. And Stan had a huge part in it. You know, there was one point where you could audibly hear Tom Crean on the telecast just say, "Go get it, Stan." And Stan goes, gets the ball from the top of the key, and just drives and scores. You know, it's the go get it, Stan offense. And we've actually heard that a couple times, you know, where you can just audibly hear Crean yelling for him to get it. And Stan just goes and makes something happen, you know, and that's what he does. And, again, they're not always good things that happen, but he's making things happen. He had 9 points. He had 4 boards. He wasn't particularly efficient. He was 3 of 10. And, you know, there were a couple possessions where he, you know, drove and tried some kind of wild finger roll when he had, you know, guys wide open. And he's a freshman, and so his floor recognition will get better than that. But, you know, there is – you know, it's not just the fact that, you know, when he gets it, you know, he gets the ball into a scoring position. He breaks down half-court defense. This team seems to play with a different energy when he's out there, in particular Troy Williams. You know, I always feel like, you know, those two guys just seem like they have a chemistry. And there was a great play where Stan drove, Troy Williams cut for a dunk. It was kind of like a vintage Will Sheehy play almost, which is the kind of stuff that we want to see Troy do. You know, is he's not a shooter. He's not a guy who's going to break people down off the dribble. He's going to cut. He's going to get offensive rebounds. That's how he's going to get his points. He seems to do that more than Stan's out there. There just seems to be more activity. And, you know, we're going to run the risk of overrating Stan Robinson, you know, and kind of thinking that he's the panacea for all that ails this team. But I don't think it's an overstatement to say that this team seems to play its best, especially on the offensive end of the floor, when Stan Robinson is in there. And you know, some of his problems, you know, with turnovers and poor decisions are going to get better as he plays more. You know, Ryan analyzed Stan's play today, and specifically with how the other players around him seem to react. I mean, are you seeing that same thing, that the rest of the guys just seem to have a different bounce in their step, you know, when Stan is doing his things on the offensive end?
I completely agree with you that he and Troy have a chemistry and work very well together. We've seen it in a few games. And I think particularly over the last few games, the team has definitely played better when Robinson's on the floor. I think that it sort of took him a while to get back in the flow of things after he missed some time earlier in the year in the preseason, or right, I guess it was right at the beginning of the season. But yeah, I think he's a guy who is just, he's aggressive, he's a scrapper, he's, you know, plays hard all the time, and he's also very skilled, he's a very smooth player. I think that obviously he needs to work on his jump shot, but I mean, what, you know, there are very few freshmen that you don't say that about. But yeah, I think at times, again, he's over-aggressive, but I'd rather have him being over-aggressive than, you know, passive. And the same goes for Troy Williams. I think Williams is a guy who, when he gets the ball inside the three-point line, I want him to be aggressive. And we talked about this on Twitter a little. I want him to be aggressive because I know he can finish. You know, I mean, we've seen him finish all year, and I think that maybe he had some bad stretches of games, but that doesn't mean that goes away. I mean, he could still finish the ball at the rim, and we've seen that even today. We saw it a few times. So, you know, those two guys, I want them – I'd rather have them at this point in their career being more aggressive than passive, you know, because they're going to learn more from making mistakes while being aggressive than they will from passing up opportunities. And they're going to be a huge key to the future of this team. And I think, again, yeah, I think you're right. I think Robinson is sort of – maybe filling into that six-man role a little bit where he just spends his energy off the bench. And with Evan Gordon moving into the starting lineup, that seems to be a perfect role for him. We've talked about him maybe being a starter, but I think that coming off the bench really is a great situation for him right now, especially because they're also – that means they're not relying heavily on him, and he can come in and just sort of mix things up.
Yeah. Well, and like we've seen with Will, I mean, having a guy with energy that's got a bounce in his step and, you know, and Stan's got a chip on his shoulder, too. I mean, we saw it today. He had to be separated by referees because he's jawing with guys. And, you know, you don't want too much of that, but you want some of it, you know. And so having that edge a little bit, you know, seems to be good for a guy like him coming off the bench. Now, let's address what you just spoke about, which is Evan Gordon starting. That was, you know, the big talk all week is what is Tom Crean going to do with his starting lineup, right? And a lot of us said that we wanted to see Stan in, you know, maybe even put, you know, Devin Davis in. People have mentioned at power forward, but I think the consensus was that Jeremy Hollowell had not earned his starting spot. You know, he needs to come off the bench, and especially when you look at the one game he didn't start, where he came off the bench and played well, that seemed like a no-brainer. Well, it happened. The guy who was inserted into the starting lineup is Evan Gordon. He wasn't spectacular, but I tell you what, his two threes were big threes at important times in the game for Indiana. He only had one turnover, and, you know, he helped stabilize the team, I thought, and did a solid job while he was out there. Jeremy Hollowell did not play, and, you know, while I wasn't surprised that he didn't start, I was surprised that he didn't play, because that was, you know, the one thing Tom Crean said during his radio show this week was, you know, they asked him about Jeremy Hollowell. They said, what do you do with a guy like that who's playing like him? And Crean said, we stick with him. You know, and he alluded to the fact that he's got to play better, he's got to improve, but he was steadfast that he was sticking with him. Well, he certainly didn't stick with him today. And then, you know, you look at the results. I mean, Indiana, without a marquee win in the non-conference schedule, this is the biggest win of the season. It's a road game in the Big Ten. It gets you to 1-2. You know, it gets you out of that kind of complete desperation mode. And Hollowell didn't play. And it's the first game in, you know, recent memory that Indiana's been below 20% in turnover percentage. And, you know, so what does this mean now, if anything? I mean, is this just a one-game thing, or is this, you know, Ryan, in your opinion, what does this mean for Jeremy Hollowell's future now with this team, you know, where he doesn't play at all? And this team goes on the road and wins, in large part, you know, a one-possession game because they were able to cut down on the turnovers that has been such a big bugaboo specifically for him.
I'm not sure what it means for the future. I think this is the kind of thing where it's hard to extrapolate and figure out, you know, is he ever going to play again? Is he going to, you know, or was this, hey, maybe he didn't look good in warm-ups, and they decided that Jeff Howard was going to be the second or third power forward off the bench, or maybe we were going to, because of matchups, we're going to go with Austin Etherington and just sort of send a message. Or is this, you know, is this a permanent thing? I tend to believe that he'll get a shot to keep playing. I don't think he'll start, but I think that he'll certainly get a chance just because of how talented he is. But, you know, the guys who played today in his place, I don't know who he replaces in that rotation. I mean, Hunter, he didn't have a great game today, but he can certainly mix it up, especially defensively, and, you know, always gives top effort and is so athletic that you kind of have to have him out there as Vonley's backup. Howard was scrapping and playing hard. Austin Etherington made some big plays, and I've been saying for 2 years now, I really can't wait till he breaks out because he's the kind of guy that we're missing, is a tall wing shooter. And Devin Davis, I think, is going to get more minutes as the year goes on. I just think that's the, you know, his effort and energy and everything. And then Stanford Robinson. I mean, where does Hollowell fit into that off the bench? You know, maybe there's another game where he's a better matchup. I'm not sure, but he's going to have to earn those minutes. And the practice floor is where he's going to do it. And so, you know, this is the kind of thing where he can take it one of two ways. He can either get depressed and get down about it, or he can focus and play hard and, you know, knuckle down and earn those minutes back. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't think Tom Crean has a set idea in mind of what he's going to do. I think he wants to see how Hollowell is going to respond to that kind of pressure.
Yeah. Interesting tweet. It's funny, this came out right as we were talking about this from our friend Chronic Hoosier. Read what you will into Hollowell's situation, but that smells a lot more like disciplinary action than just Crean sending him a message, which is true, you know, because I was not surprised he didn't start. I was shocked that he didn't play, you know, especially with what Crean said early in the week about sticking with him. It was, you know, it's interesting. Something doesn't quite add up, and so this may, you know, this may not have been just a you haven't earned the playing time type thing. I don't know. It's pure speculation. We didn't hear anything about an injury. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if anything comes out about that. All we know is that Indiana gets his first Big Ten win on the road, and, you know, and Jeremy Hollowell doesn't play. And some of the negatives that he has brought to this team, you know, the reduction of those, that was a big reason why Indiana won. And so it is going to be interesting. I think we all still have high hopes for Jeremy and want him to do very well. But now the onus is on him, you know, to take his positives, you know, his size and his athletic ability and some of his skills, and he's got to turn that into productivity, you know, because if he doesn't shoot, you know, Jeff Howard and Austin Etherington, those kind of guys aren't going to wow you with measurables and all the other stuff, you know, but they, you know, they play hard and they, you know, they're finding ways to be productive with their minutes. And it's funny, you know, to kind of harken back to something Andy has said so often is that, you know, Jeremy, probably of all the players that we've analyzed in the 2+ years now that we've been doing the assembly call, Jeremy is the one Hoosier who really doesn't seem to have the understanding of what he does when he plays well. You know, because when he plays well, he's getting garbage buckets and he's playing tough defense and he's getting assists and he's, you know, not dribbling aimlessly. You know, but yet he always falls back into those habits. And so he's got to cut out the bad, get back to the good, you know, where this team's going to start taking off moving forward without him. So it's going to be an interesting subplot to see what happens. Let's talk a little bit about your boy Will Sheehy, Ryan. And we had a little exchange on Twitter about him. You know, Will has basically started to get into this habit in Big Ten play of disappearing, especially offensively in the first half, and then stepping up and making some big plays in the second half. Today he had 9 points, 5 boards. 2 assists. He made a big three there in the second half. Speaking of which, Indiana, again, surprisingly effective from downtown. 8 of 20 from three-point range and some really big ones. I mean, there were some big, important three-pointers, you know, momentum-changing three-pointers today. You know, didn't really expect that from this team, but in the two games where they've played decently, Illinois and Penn State, they've done that from three-point range. But anyway, back to Will. You know, we've been talking about how his offensive decision-making hasn't really improved, you know, as he's kind of gone along his career. And what he's really effective at is being that fourth or fifth option on a good offensive team where the attention is being drawn by shooters and guys who can penetrate, and he can just do his thing of, you know, making basket cuts off, you know, on the opposite side, you know, getting some garbage buckets, getting some putbacks, you know, cutting into an open, you know, to an open elbow and hitting a 15-foot jump shot, that kind of thing. And when he's got to have the ball in his hands or when he's more of a focal point, you know, his skills and his decision-making just don't quite add up to him being able to be effective like that. But I think even times when you see him being effective, you know, there's guys like, you know, Stan and Noah and Yogi are on the floor, so the onus isn't all on Will, and he's able to kind of, you know, do what he's done the last couple of years. So analyze his performance a little bit. And maybe this is something where we just have to expect, you know, kind of uneven performances from Will. But at least for this team, he's bringing it in the second half. He's bringing the effort. And he does seem to find a way to contribute in the second half each game offensively, even if it's, you know, makes you want to pull your hair out sometimes.
Yeah, I think that with Will, it's so redundant with us. I just think that he makes incredibly poor decisions with the basketball a lot of the time. And as a senior, you just can't do that and be relied upon. But I do think that he plays solid defense. He's aggressive on that end of the floor and going after rebounds. And then he's most effective offensively going to the basket and cutting and things like that. But he thinks he's a shooter a lot. And I don't know if that's just an instinct or what, but he's clearly not a great shooter. I mean, we all know that. He'll make one nice one every game, you know, it seems like, but it's just not his game. And, you know, my dad and I, he had a nice little, like, about 7-foot floater that went in, and I turned to my dad and I said, that's the only place I'm comfortable with him shooting the basketball. And it's true. I mean, from 7 feet and in, that was the only time where I'm like, okay, good shot, Will. Other than that, I don't want him hoisting anything. I thought, you know, his overall floor game today was solid, particularly in the second half. But offensively, his decision-making is just terrible. And it's almost one of the things where at this point we've got to kind of come to grips with the fact that it's probably not going to get any better. And, you know, but when he is sharing the basketball and when he's making basket cuts and he's getting in the mix in the lane offensively, that's when he's most effective. And I'm just shocked that watching the tape hasn't made that dawn on him yet. So it's a bummer because we all know how talented he is, but, you know, it'd be nice to see him just sort of forget the perimeter game and just focus on going to the basket and working hard. And those are the things that made him successful, especially in his first 2 years on campus.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. You're listening to The Assembly Call. Jared Morris here with Ryan Phillips. Again, Andy Bottom's not with us today, but he will have some analysis for you. It's a subscriber-only analysis. You can subscribe for free, assemblycall.com/subscribe. Get our newsletter. If you do want to call in, 646-716-6360, we can take some calls here for the next 15, 20 minutes. Feel free to do so if you have a hot opinion on today's game. Okay, before we start looking ahead a little bit, Ryan, we won't go into full-fledged scouting report mode because that's Andy's job, but certainly we know enough about Wisconsin that we can discuss that game. But before we do that, you know, tell me if I'm a little crazy, but I'm, you know, as I'm kind of looking through the stats here, I'm feeling a little bit better about this game. You know, I mean, you know, like I said at the beginning, I mean, it's a win, and it's a road win on the Big Ten, so you have to feel good about it from that standpoint. But, you know, you look at it, I mean, Indiana only shot, like you said earlier, 36.2%. I mean, we were 21 of 58 from the field, you know, and that included a lot of easy shots we missed. I mean, there was a layup Yogi missed where he's on the right side and he shoots it with his left hand. There were a couple point-blank misses by Will in the first half. You know, so, you know, we put some of those down. It's a different ball game. But, you know, some of the deeper stats and the stats that have really been troublesome, right, turnovers. I thought Indiana did a better job on turnovers. This has been a team that hasn't often assisted on many of its shots. But today, you know, Indiana had 13 assists on its 21 made baskets, which is, you know, 61.9%. That's one of the biggest totals that I've seen. Indiana from the free throw line on the road, you know, was 29 of 35. It was huge late. And just, you know, that fact, getting to the free throw line again 35 times. You know, rebounding-wise, Indiana rebounded 18 of its own misses, you know, and even though we gave up more on the offensive end than we'd want to, you know, still out-rebounded Penn State overall by 5, and the percentages are all pretty good. The one negative stat is that we gave up, you know, 1.18 points per possession to Penn State in a game that was played at a slower tempo than normal. A lot of those given up early in the game when there were just wide open threes that Penn State was making. But, you know, as I kind of look at this game, you know, I'm feeling a little bit better about it for this specific reason, that some of the things that have plagued Indiana and have lost us games, those specific things got better. Turnovers, assists, you know, those things really improved. And, you know, if that's something Indiana can carry forward, then this can be a huge, you know, kind of milestone game or kind of, you know, season momentum changer for Indiana. Now, you know, again, it's hard to extrapolate that from one game, and there could be a huge reality check coming Tuesday against Wisconsin. But at least for one day, you know, even as I look deeper, I'm feeling better about this win. I think it's a win Indiana fans can feel a little bit better about because of that reason. Your thoughts, you agree, or was this just a three-point win over a team that's not very good?
No, I do think that there was evidence of them learning some things. You know, slowing down, taking possessions more seriously, I guess. I mean, it's the best way I can put it. You know, valuing the basketball, sharing the basketball, ball movement, things like that. They look better against the zone today than they have in the past. Just certain specific small things that made today better. And again, yeah, it was against a bad opponent, but it was on the road in the Big Ten and they won. I mean, that's for a bunch of freshmen and sophomores, that's a big deal, getting that first road win really of the season ever, really, for most of these guys, and getting it, you know, in the conference in a game they were down 15 in the first half and just started poorly. Yep. It was an early start to the game. You know, a lot of teams don't react well to that. It was a noon start, and you know, they clearly started slowly, except for Noah, who apparently, like, you know, apparently he's a morning guy.
Oh, go ahead. Keep going. Ryan, you there? Did we lose you, buddy? All right, so we might have lost Ryan. He's not coming through, Ryan. Okay, so Ryan will call back in. Yeah, you know, again, and Ryan actually brings up a good point there about the timing of the game. And that's something that had me a little bit nervous, you know, because we've seen some of these early, you know, 12 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock, it's 11 o'clock Central time for me when this game started, you know, and you see kind of some slow starts by teams sometimes. I think we've got Ryan back. Ryan, if you want to finish your thought on that, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that. Technology is fantastic.
yes.
I just think that it's one of those things where they're clearly learning to play together, play better, play more solid basketball. Now, again, this could all change against Wisconsin, but at least there's some improvement. You see some improvement, and there are some things that you can feel happy about. Again, they got down 15 early and were able to really take it home in the second half, and I thought that was really a positive development for the future of this team.
No, I agree with you. You know, that's, again, it's, you know, I think this has been such a weird season because I think at the beginning of the year, you know, after the way the team played through the first three, four, five games, you know, especially how they played against Washington, you know, and Troy had his coming out party, I think we all maybe felt a little better about this team than we expected, right? And then the pendulum swung fully in the other direction with the loss to Notre Dame and the poor second half performance against Syracuse, and then even, you know, more recently that, you know, just the non-competitive performance against Michigan State. But, you know, finally this is a game where I think you can start to see some of the really bad things that have been plaguing this team start to, you know, get corrected a little bit. So it's a stepping stone game now. It would be nice if, you know, we could have another stepping stone game against Nebraska and then, you know, maybe play Purdue and, you know, play some of the Big Ten's lesser teams to build some confidence, but no. On Tuesday, we have a quick turnaround against the mighty Wisconsin Badgers. And not only is Wisconsin ranked in the top five this year, I saw some ridiculous stat. I think they've won games scoring 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, and 100 points or something like that. Like they've, you know, kind of proving the, you know, the point that this is a team that can play at all different tempos and speeds, which is different from Wisconsin. And then you add in the fact that Tom Crean has never beaten Bo Ryan, and a lot of those losses have not been pretty. So, you know, we won on the Big Ten, on the road in the Big Ten, 1-2. Obviously, the one thing that gives you some hope going into Tuesday night is that the game is in Assembly Hall. You know, it's nice that Indiana got a win today. That should help encourage the students and everybody who will be back in full force, you know, to just be wild and crazy because it's a huge game. I mean, if Indiana can win it, it's huge. You know, it puts you right back up there in, you know, in the middle of the pack. And now you're a team more to be reckoned with that, hey, maybe this team can go 500 in the Big Ten. Maybe we can get to 10 wins, right? A lot riding on this game. However, Ryan, is there any reason to be optimistic? I mean, can this team realistically, even at home, even with the magic of Assembly Hall taken into account, can this year's team compete with a Wisconsin team that, by all accounts, is as good as any that Bo Ryan has had?
I think you can have some hope, obviously, because anything can happen at Assembly Hall, and this team certainly has the talent to stay with anyone. Would I pick them to win it if I had money riding on it? No, of course not. Wisconsin's undefeated and, you know, in the top five and playing incredible basketball, and hats off to Bo Ryan. He's doing a fantastic job up there. They've got a guy who's going to be a candidate for Big Ten Player of the Year in Decker. And, you know, like you said, they have. They've won games scoring in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 100s. I mean, that's unbelievable, really. That's an unbelievable statistic. But it is true. And anything can happen at Assembly Hall. I think that there have been some wins there, that the crowd has really willed. That's certainly, you know, the potential does exist for that to happen. But, of course, I wouldn't pick them. But, yeah, there's always hope of this team. And also I want to see how they react to how they come out after winning on the road. Will they come out with confidence? Will they come out flat? Will they come out, you know, will the younger guys have more confidence in their games and be aggressive and things like that? Or is it, you know, just going to be a flat performance like it was today where they come out and just don't really have, you know, much energy and then sort of develop that later on? But against a team like Wisconsin, if you do that, it's too late. So we'll see how they play and how they come out and see how guys like Stan and Williams and Vonley all react to having, you know, finally won a game on the road.
What do you think is the biggest key? I mean, you know, like if we're on here Tuesday night and it's, you know, welcome to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, that will happen because why, right? And remove, you know, Assembly Hall. Obviously, if Indiana's going to win, Assembly Hall is going to be, you know, just absolute apeshit the entire game. We know that. But, you know, what do you look at as maybe the one or two keys? You know, I mean, is it as simple as, you know, Yogi and Noah just have to play like all Big Ten players and we have to shoot well from downtown? Or is there, maybe something more subtle or something that others might overlook that you think is really the key for this team to compete with Wisconsin on Tuesday?
I think that it's going to be rebounding because Wisconsin always rebounds well. I think that if Indiana out-rebounds them by 10, they have a chance. And I also think outside shooting, they'll have to shoot well because a lot of their opportunities are not going to come inside. I'm sure they're going to clamp down on Vonley inside, and that's going to leave a lot of open looks for guys like, if he plays a lot, Etherington, Yogi, and Evan Gordon. And they're going to have to hit those shots. I mean, you're going to have to sink some threes to be in the game against Wisconsin. I mean, remember, this is a team that is number one in the RPI right now, Wisconsin is. And, you know, that means they're a really good team in a lot of phases. You can't be number one in RPI just, you know, being one-dimensional. I think that it proves that they've beaten some really good teams and played a tough enough schedule to prove that they can hang with anybody. So they're going to need to hit some shots, and they're going to need to out-rebound Wisconsin. Neither of those are an easy task for this team. So if they do that, I think they've got a chance.
Yep, I agree with you. All right, well, you know, enough worrying about that. That comes Tuesday. You know, the nice thing about Indiana getting an early win on Saturday is now we have the rest of the weekend to enjoy it. So while you're watching football today, while you're watching football tomorrow, you know, enjoy this Indiana victory, savor it. It's a road victory, and those are hard to come by. So let's enjoy it, and then we'll, you know, we'll reconvene here Tuesday to talk about whatever happens in that Wisconsin game. But again, Indiana wins today 79-76. With all that said, Ryan, I will go to you for final thoughts. I will give mine, and then we will sign off and get ready to go see if the New Orleans Saints can compete at all with the Seattle Seahawks.
I think just the final thought for today is it was another step in this team growing, and it was a win on the road in the Big Ten, which is, I mean, we've had trouble with great teams getting those so in the past. And so this was a big deal, get the win on the road. The Big Ten mantra has always sort of been win all your games at home and win half on the road and you'll be fine. And you know, or you'll have a great season. And we're not going to win all of them at home. We already lost to Michigan State. But, you know, getting a win on the road is big because that's part of the goal is to win about half your games on the road and come away, you know, you could probably win the conference if you win them all at home and win half your games on the road. So, again, anytime you get a road win in the Big Ten, it's a big deal. And especially for a young team that's still learning how to compete on this level, learning how to actually, you know, overcome, you know, adversity and things like that. So it's a big deal to get that win. It doesn't matter who it's against. I realize Penn State is not a blue chip program right now, but it's still a big deal to get a win on the road, especially for a young team.
Yep, I agree. There are plenty of ways, plenty of reasons that you can poke holes in this victory and talk about how Penn State isn't that good and this, that, or the other mistake that Indiana made and how they came out flat and all those things. And those are all valid. But you know what? I think the positives far outweigh the negatives in this one. Like you said, it's a win on the road. And I think it's not just that it's a win on the road. You know, I do think how they got it is important because I think there are going to be other games where this team falls down by 15 points in the first half, you know, and now they have something to draw on where, hey, we were flat. We were a one-man team for 10 minutes. We're down 31-15. You know, we could have folded up the tents. We could have gotten blown out of the building, and we didn't, you know. And part of the reason why we were down, and I hope that I'm sure this will get pointed out by the coaches, is there was a stretch there, like I said before, where the team just wasn't competing, not going hard for rebounds, not getting out to shooters. That's where we really, you know, where Penn State built that 16-point lead. And when we started competing again, it's no surprise that we started playing well because we have – more talent than them, and that you know, eventually was able to you know, to come to fruition, and we were able to see that you know, so I think the way that this team won today was important, you know, and just the, you know, being down, then getting back up in the second half and having them come back and then having to battle back and win it, make free throws at the end. So I think there's a lot of positives, and look, ultimately we're 1-2, we're not 0-3, and now we go into that Wisconsin game, and it means a little more. It's not just, you know, desperation, you know, to try and salvage some pride and not go 0-4. Now you're planning to be 2-2 and get yourself back into the thick of the Big Ten, you know. And so, hey, who knows what's going to happen? Is it likely that Indiana's going to win? No, probably not, because Wisconsin is outstanding. And, you know, Wisconsin has proven that they can beat Indiana even when Indiana probably has the better team. So there's not a whole lot of reasons to believe, but it's a game in Assembly Hall. You know, this team now has the confidence of winning on the road, and, you know, it's college basketball, so anything can happen. And, you know, let's go into that with an open mind. But for now, let's enjoy this victory over Penn State. Indiana wins today 79-76. The Hoosiers are now 11-5 on the season, 1-2 in conference play. And finally, we can enjoy a weekend because the Hoosiers have started it off with a victory. Something to make us feel good as we watch football. Ryan, thanks for your time. Again, everybody, assemblycall.com/subscribe. Go subscribe to the email list. We got some great stuff planned for you. It's free. We're only going to send you emails when we have something really good to say. So we promise we will not pollute your inbox, and the first thing you'll get is Andy Bottom's analysis of this very game, so it'll be worth it. All right, everybody, enjoy your Saturday, enjoy your weekend, and we will be right back here to talk to you Tuesday night on another hopefully victorious episode of the Assembly Call. Have a great weekend, everybody.